Hello, and welcome to the Space Coast Pet Podcast, the podcast for pets and the people who love them. Now here's your host, veterinarian Dr. Roger Welton.
Hello, pet lovers, and thank you for tuning in to the Space Coast Pet Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Roger Welton, a.k.a. Dr. Roger, practicing veterinarian. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We are going to be talking about a very important topic. I know because I've been dispensing and prescribing medications this week leading up to our 4th of July holiday like it's going out of style, like I do year in and year out. I don't know about other states, but in Florida, another time, common time for our time-honored tradition of loving to blow off fireworks is not just 4th of July, but around New Year's Eve as well. So these two times of year, our phone's running off the hook for meds, and I thought, what an appropriate topic that I can hopefully help to offer some solutions for any of your dogs out there that might suffer from this common anxiety. The level of fireworks anxiety can range from just mild and uncomfortable, uneasy, to so severe that some dogs literally can jump through glass, glass doors that is, screen doors, they can chew holes through doors, they can actually manifest in physical symptoms of disease because the anxiety is so bad and they're such in a severe heightened fight or flight state. So important topic today, and we're going to talk about all manner of help. What we've learned through the years has evolved. So, you know, if you think something works for your dog, like acepromazine, for example, let's think again. Please hear this one out because we've learned a lot and we continue to learn more as this stuff gets studied. Acepromazine, in my opinion, is an inhumane approach, and I'm going to jump into why. First, wanted to jump into, before we get to the main topic, listener emails. I want to let you know that I'm not going to be addressing any one email today, but there was so many beautifully written, heartfelt emails sent to me in the wake of my last episode when I talked about losing my beloved yellow Labrador, Stella, in an untimely fashion. I want to just thank you all from the bottom of my heart for sending those. I read every one of them. I wish I could have replied to all of them. I wish I could address every one of them on the air. There was just too many, but know how much they meant to me, to my family, and I thank you so much. I know every one of you knows the pain and grief of losing a beloved furry family member. It's incredible when beauty can result from loss, and in the form of your wonderful, kind words, that was beautiful to me. Interestingly enough, some more beauty has resulted after my loss. A dear client reached out to me shortly after I lost Stella, just a couple days later actually, sent me an email about her yellow lab Nacho, that she knew how much I love Nacho and love my visits with him. He's a big, goofy yellow lab, 76 pounds of love, just a big, goofy, sweet boy. Every time I saw him, I'd get in and roll around on the exam room floor with him, play with him, you know, for a good 5 to 10 minutes before we got to business, gave him some treats. I just always loved that dog. What's interesting about Nacho is that he is a variation of a yellow lab called a Dudley. So most yellow Labradors, a dominant trait is brown eyes with a black nose, whereas the Dudley, a less common recessive variation of the yellow Labrador, they have hazel, almost like greenish brown eyes, and they have a liver-colored nose. So they basically their eyes and nose take on the coloration of the chocolate lab, and they're just beautiful. I love all three colors of labs. They're all unique and cool in their own ways. But the Dudley takes me back to my first Labrador Retriever that I got in college. Her name was Tiffany, and she was just about basically my soul-connected being on this earth back then. I took her everywhere with me. She was attached to my hip, and she was a Dudley. And so Tiffany was amazing because she took me through college, vet school, clinical year in Illinois, back to New York, down to Florida. Like, so many things changed in my life, but my constant, my rock was my Tiffany. And so Nacho was just a big male version of her. Maybe not quite as refined as my Tiffany. The males tend to be a little doofier in the Labrador Retriever world. So she reached out to me, this client, and she basically informed me, sadly, on her. First of all, she sent me some beautiful condolences. I've known her a very long time, wonderful client, and she sent me great words of kindness and empathy. And then she transitioned into talking about Nacho and just recalling all our visits and how much I always loved seeing him, and informed me that her five-year-old son had, in the last couple of years, developed such severe allergies that this past calendar school year, he had missed 23 days of school from allergy-related illness. And sadly, doctors discovered that the main source of his allergies is the dog. And so she was struggling with this because she loved the dog and did not want to have to say goodbye to him, and she wouldn't give him up, and she wouldn't, you know, simply abandon the dog or risk giving him to the wrong people. And so she reached out to me to see, is this something, if not now when you're not ready, you might want to consider taking Nacho. I know you guys always had this wonderful rapport. And so here I am 2 days past Stella, still very much grieving. My daughter, my son's grieving, my girlfriend Jill, we're just devastated. And I just said, you know what? Yes. Yeah, I love Nacho. You know, he acclimating him to a new home would be a welcome distraction. And one day later, Nacho was in my home. So I got this four-year-old Labrador Retriever. He is just beautiful. He is very different from Stella. Where she was so refined and graceful, he's a bull in a china shop. Where she was this petite little 50-pound lab, he's a big, stocky, not fat, but just big, stocky, 76-pound bull in a china shop. He is super active, fireball of personality, couldn't be gentler though, you know. It's about a month later, and I'll tell you, I'm definitely falling for this dog, and not a replacement for Stella, as you all know out there. You never replace your dog. That's not the point. The point is to love another dog and let them imprint in a completely different way in a new place in your heart. So just so you all know, we're all doing better. We are healing. Nacho is a big reason for that. So thank you all again. Let's move on to our topic. Sound anxiety. So it's interesting how some dogs have thunderstorm anxiety but not fireworks anxiety. Others have fireworks anxiety and not thunderstorm anxiety, and others get both. Here on the Space Coast, we have rocket launches, and so some dogs get rocket launch anxiety. Literally, when I'm about probably 15 miles from Cape Canaveral, and you know, I could see the rockets blast from the front of my house. I can also feel them because my home rumbles. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. Luckily, my dogs are unaffected by it. But one of my previous Labrador Retrievers, Bernie, he suffered from all three of those anxieties. And so I know what it's like to manage these things. It can be quite challenging. So before we talk about remedies, let's talk about severity. So, you know, a lot of people want to try the most natural approach. Nobody wants to drug their dog if you can avoid it. But I'll tell you, if that's what's necessary to calm them and to quell that anxiety, just know it is the humane thing to do. And so I would definitely encourage that if that's what you need to do. But let's talk about some natural approaches first. So first one I'm going to bring up is CBD oil, because everybody under the sun asked me about CBD oil. I will tell you that I have been grossly underwhelmed by CBD since the whole CBD rage thing broke out like 5 or 6 years ago. It is I think first off, part of the problem is there's a lot of bogus product out there because it's not FDA regulated. I would say if you're going to go there, don't get it from a gas station. But I think the biggest limitation with CBD is that the legal allowable percentage of THC, which is the psychotropic component to CBD, it's only 0.3%. It's so nominal that it's just not enough. So Colorado State University does a lot of research on medicinal marijuana, and they're big on CBD, but what they have discovered and really are proactively fine-tuning is that you need more add back of the THC for the cannabidiol, sorry, the medicinal component of the cannabis plant to have a medicinal effect, and that applies to anxiety as well. It's called the entourage effect. So you're taking your CBD that's purified and separated mostly from the psychotropic THC component and adding back strategically to get that minimum amount necessary to get the maximum benefit. So yeah, if you're around Colorado State University and you have the opportunity to get with some of these CBD specialists that actually, more appropriately to call them medicinal marijuana specialists, they can get you the good stuff. Here in Florida, we have medicinal marijuana. It can be prescribed by a doctor. However, that patient cannot be a dog or a cat. I have no legal mechanism by which I can prescribe medical marijuana of any kind to one of my patients because there's no legal mechanism for them to get a card. So that just kind of handcuffs us to you. Well, what's left? The OTC products. And if that's all you have access to, I guess you could try them. But again, no gas station, and I just been underwhelmed. So, and you hear the anecdotal reports from most people that try. They're like, I tried the CBD and didn't do much of anything. Well, that's kind of how it goes. I guess there's no downside really, but I would say, not very impressed by CBD. What I am impressed by, though, are a couple different natural modalities. One is a product called Adaptil. So adapt as adapt to change, right? But with an IL on the end of it. So it's Adapt IL, Adaptil. Adaptil comes in a spray. The spray can be applied to surfaces, such as like the bedding of a dog. It could be applied to a bandana and sprayed on and tied around the dog's neck. It could also be applied to a thundershirt. I'm going to talk about thundershirts in a little bit as well. The spray version lasts for about 6 to 8 hours, and we'll follow the dog around if it's wearing something like a bandana or a thundershirt. If there's a dog particularly attached to his or her bed, I would say that's a good place to spray it down as well, and they're gonna pick up on the scent of this. Adaptil is an isolated pheromone. A pheromone is a hormone that aerosolizes and is picked up through the olfactory senses of other mammals. So we have pheromones. Most mammals, I think, I want to say all of mammals that I'm aware of have some form of pheromone that they emit, whether it's sex pheromones, whether it's this particular pheromone. So, and they emit different things for different reasons. So, this particular pheromone is emitted by the lactating female. And so, lactating female refers to a female that has had puppies and she is lactating, meaning that she's having milk let down and her mammaries are filling with milk and she wants her puppies to eat. And her body instinctively, as she has the milk let down, excretes a pheromone that the puppies pick up on, and it's very soothing to the puppies. It makes them feel safe and peaceful, and they migrate towards mom and they feed at peace. It's a mechanism by which they intrinsically are encouraged to eat. They're full and they're not scared. They're not anxious. So Adaptil is literally that pheromone in a bottle. The other form it comes in a plug-in diffuser that you can plug into an outlet, sort of like a deodorizer. Those plug-in deodorizers that some people plug into their homes. It's same concept, only it's going to emit a pheromone. You won't smell it, but your dog will. And that's going to cover about a 700 to 800 square foot area, in case you have a dog that spends the lion's share amount of his or her time in one particular room or a couple of rooms. You can get a couple different diffusers. So a few different ways you can use the Adaptil, but it's not witch doctory. I have had a good amount of success with Adaptil. When we talk about the fear-free kennel approach to helping dogs in a kennel situation or just coming to the vet to, and they're particularly anxious about it, that part of the fear-free protocol is using a product like Adaptil. And so, yeah, been very, very happy with it, and no downside, no side effect, and that's one modality you can use. I touched on the Thundershirt. I think Thundershirt, you can't leave it on all the time because it will lose its efficacy. But basically what the Thundershirt does, it's a sort of snuggy approach where, when you swaddle a baby, they just instantly calm down. I remember those days swaddling my kids after I changed their diapers when they were just little tiny infants. It's basically you're swaddling your dog and it applies pressure evenly throughout the trunk, and it can be very effective. I will warn you though that I don't know if I'd go out and buy one right this second, because if you read the directions, you have to use it 4 times before you're going to see max benefit. When I first heard this thing came out a long time ago, I want to say like around 06, maybe a little earlier, I thought it was the dumbest thing I ever heard of. I thought, man, people will buy anything. And then, one client after another that, these were credible people were saying, no, doc, it really works, for real. It helps my dog. So I had Bernie, my fireworks / thunderstorm / rocket launch anxiety dog, and I figured, what do I have to lose? And so you read the instruction that said, if it doesn't work for the first few times, don't give up on it. You're going to see max benefit 4th use. Well, lo and behold, 4th use, I saw Bernie improve. It wasn't all I needed to do for Bernie, but definitely was part of the solution. Now, if it's Thunderworks time, the worst side, I would say, you can't leave it on the dog all the time. Like, so for Bernie, I would throw it on him when I could see him start do the pacing. Even though it's sunny out, I used to call Bernie the living barometer because he could sense a storm when it was still like over Orlando, still an hour plus away. I just knew a storm was coming. I'd throw it on him then, and then I'd spray it down with Adaptil. But leaving it on all the time, it loses its effect. They get refractory to its benefits. So as it pertains to 4th of July, I would specifically just throw it on as we approach dark, and leave it on maybe through the overnight. But I wouldn't leave it on, for 4 straight days. And then take it off in the morning and then let the dog see how it feels without the thunder shirt on him. And then later on, put it on as we approach the evening, when that's really where you're going to see the most intense fireworks anyway, or hear the most intense fireworks. So that's the Thundershirt. So those are really two natural approaches that I have seen some efficacy. I've seen occasional benefit with an herbal preparation called Rescue Remedy. That's another thing you can try. And you can try all those three things together. So Rescue Remedy, Thundershirt, and Adaptil sprayed on it. Certainly, you could try to mix all three of those together to see if you feel your dog is not one of those that is so severe that we're gonna need pharmaceutical help. So let's transition to pharmaceutical help. I talked about acepromazine and how I really don't like it unless it's for really specific circumstances. So acepromazine, we know, will very often immobilize the dog and make them seem like they're calm, and we are left with the impression that this is actually doing something and causing some benefit, but realistically, you're just schnooking the dog, making them sedate, but it does nothing for the anxiety. And we know this because the dog looks like it's completely stoned if you arrive at the right dose, and yet you put your stethoscope on its heart and it literally sounds just as high, the rate, as it was pre-acepromazine. The dog's just as nervous, they just can't react to it. And that's why I said I think acepromazine used by itself is inhumane. It's something that I really don't touch much at all. So not a proponent of acepromazine. there is one specific use I'll have for azepromazine, and that's as part of a calm protocol where I'm combining it with two other meds for dogs that are very unhandleable when they come to the vet. And that's a whole other discussion, so I'm not even going to touch on that. So I'm going to say azepromazine, throw it out the window. Let's talk about the benzodiazepines. So the two most commonly prescribed benzodiazepines are Valium, and that's the generic name for that is diazepam. And then there's Xanax, the generic name for that is alprazolam. So these used to be prescribed a lot more commonly, and I'm going to say I even prescribe them a lot more commonly, but I'm really not going there much with these anymore. Number one, I felt that their benefit was underwhelming. I think it helped some, but you know, not nearly enough. And secondly, if they did work, they would only work for a day or two max. And so we need to help some of these dogs for up to 5 days or longer, and it's just not going to get them there. So the refractoriness of these medications is profound. And that's actually my understanding from MD friends of mine, is that when used for anxiety in people, it's the same thing. You got to find yourself upping doses to get the same effect because of the refractoriness the patient develops to the benefit of the benzodiazepine. So not a really a big proponent of those either. So that's, not a fan at this point in time. So where do we go? To me, the best approach is I like to try trazodone by itself if you have a moderate case. Trazodone works by a very different mechanism. It's taken most commonly in human medicine for insomnia because it calms an overactive mind. And so it, in that regard, it has a direct anxiolytic effect. Not a benzodiazepine, works very, very differently. And the other thing about trazodone is we're not going to see refractoriness if it's used day to day. And thirdly, trazodone will directly increase serotonin in the brain. There's a serotonin effect. And serotonin is a neurotransmitter that is involved where we, or they, the dogs, feel contentment. They feel safety. So mom's giving us a hug. I feel safe. I feel secure. I feel at peace. That's serotonin all involved in that. And so when we increase the levels of it, we increase that feeling of security. So there's a twofold approach with trazodone. The dose that I like to try is we can start with 2 milligrams per pound of body weight, up to twice a day as needed. You can take that as high as 3 to 4 milligrams per pound of body weight. It's very, very safe stuff, but you know, I say start low, increase those doses only on an as-needed basis. If trazodone doesn't get the patient there, then a really nice adjunctive behavior med for the dog to use with trazodone is gabapentin. And gabapentin, I would prescribe anywhere from 10 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, given concurrently with the trazodone, up to 2 times daily. You can take that, big dosing ranges with these. You know, 10 milligrams per kilogram can increase as high as 20 milligrams per kilogram. And so you can essentially double the dose if you're not getting there. So in the case of my Bernie in the past, what worked with him was the right sort of balance was in addition to the Adaptil with his undershirt, I would do trazodone 2 milligrams per pound, and I would do 20 milligrams per kilogram gabapentin. And I only had to dose him with that once, you know, in the morning, and that took him all the way until the next day with the fireworks. And so I would redose it the next morning until the fireworks were sort of in the rear view mirror. Some dogs will need twice a day dosing. Some we'll need the twice a day dosing in addition to doing something like a Thundershirt and Adaptil. You know, there's no one size fits all here. So that's sort of the various things we're doing. And there'll be some trial and error involved, but that's sort of the guidelines that I'm putting out there. So that said, that's my episode for today. And it's really nice to be talking to all of you again. I bid you all a happy, healthy, and safe 4th of July. I bid that for your beautiful dogs as well. Hopefully they can experience as much peace and fun as we do on that day without the anxiety to go with it. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. Can't wait to talk to you again. Take care.